to Judges chapter 6.
So last time I noticed we were in Judges chapter 3. Scooped along pretty good in the book of Judges. We slowed down a little bit when we come to Gideon, because there's just a lot more said about Gideon than any of the other of the judges. So we're
going to
look tonight in Judges chapter
number 6. We're going to start in verse number 25 and read a few verses there. And so I'll give you just a moment to find your place. Judges chapter number 6. We no longer consider ourselves in conference tonight. And so we'll get right into the Bible study. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. I'm getting a lot out of it, and it's helping me on a personal level. And So Judges chapter 6, verse number 25. I'm not going to read down through all of these verses, but we'll just get a few to start with tonight. The Bible said, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. When the men of the city rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. And we'll stop reading there, but we'll go on down through some of these other verses tonight. But we're going to get from verse number 25 down through verse number 32. And so we're going to look at these verses. We said last week that we called it Gideon the Call, the Call of Gideon. And tonight we're going to call it the Commencement of Gideon. During the call, if you look back, you find in verse number 24 that Gideon had surrendered to do what God had asked him to do. He had built an altar there. He had worshiped the Lord. He evidently had peace about it because he named the altar Jehovah Shalom, which means Jehovah is peace. And so that's what we got to last week. Gideon had worshiped the Lord. He had built an altar unto the Lord. Now, surrendering to God's call in our life, that's the hardest thing and the easiest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do because if you look back in verse number 12, the Bible said, and we're thinking back last week to when God called Gideon, the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And that's where the Lord called Gideon, and I say that was hard. And it's hard when the Lord specifically calls us to do something, because we sort of get like Gideon. We say, who me? Not me. I could never do that. And that's what Gideon did. You know, the first thing he did is that he began to argue with the Lord. He said in verse 15, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And so, yes, the Lord was calling him to do this, and it was hard for him to surrender to the Lord, but he did. And we find that in the end when he built the altar and he worshiped the Lord and he called it Jehovah Shalom. And so it was hard for him to do that, but that's the easiest thing he's done up to this point. You see, up to this point, all that he has done, he's not done anything. He just assented, or he just agreed, yes, God, that's what you want me to do. And he built an altar and he worshiped the Lord there, but he's not done anything. And so, surrendering to God's call in our life, it's a hard thing to get to that point, but it's easy in that he's still not done anything. All he's basically done is said, all right, that's what I'll do. And so he assented to do that. Now, God calls the right people at the right time. And he called Gideon here, and he called Gideon for a specific purpose. He had something that he wanted him to do, and he didn't want him to wait 6 months or 6 years or 10 years or anything like that. When God calls somebody to do something, it's because he's got something for them to do. And so God didn't tell Gideon, okay, now you go back and you do what you were doing before, and I'll get back with you. If we look down through these verses, you'll find that God had something for him to do. And so God has something for us to do. And so there is a commencement. And that's why I'm using that word tonight. The word commencement, it means a beginning. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought about this. When somebody graduates from high school or college, I think they call that a commencement exercise, don't they? Why do they call that a commencement? I mean, when I got my diploma, I never went back. I was done. I was finished. Wasn't that the end of it all? When somebody gets their college diploma, they're done. But it's called a commencement because that's really just the beginning. Everything that you've done up to that point is in preparation for what comes next. And so that's what we have here. We could put it like this. We could say, and the word commencement, it means this. It means to begin to be as in a change of character. And so God's getting ready to change Gideon. And he's going to grow. I know that's painful for you, but it's not hurting me. So it don't hurt me. I hope it don't hurt you. But we could say, first of all, that the call of Gideon was phase one. And then what we find tonight is phase two. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God calls us. But God gives time to grow us. God did not take Gideon and just throw him into the battle. Now there's a battle in chapter number 7. But God graduates Gideon into the battle. It's the same way with us. When God calls us, when God saves us, he's got something for us to do. But there's a lot of time in our life that God will take just to grow us along. And so God's going to grow Gideon along in his faith. I'm going to give you three things tonight. Number one, where he began. Where he began. Verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. So where does he begin? He begins at home. And that's where, by the way, God wants us to begin as well. He didn't put him right into the battle with the Midianites, but he had to begin at home. And you know, a lot of times that's the hardest place to start. I mean, from a human standpoint, it looks to me like it would have been easier for Gideon just to blow the horn, that gathered people together for war, blow the horn, get some men together, and let's go to war. But what does Gideon do? He starts out with this great controversy in his life. But we're not talking about a human standpoint. We're talking about God's standpoint. And from God's standpoint, things have to be right before we start. And there's some things that has to be gotten right in the nation of Israel. And the thing that has to be gotten right is that Israel has to recognize once again the true God of heaven. See, they've been worshiping Baal. They've been caught up in idolatry and false idols and false worship and all of these things. And Baal worship affected Gideon's family. And by the reaction of all the other men of the city, it affected Gideon's community. And according to Judges chapter 6, verse number 1, it affected the children of Israel because the Bible said that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. So they had a real national problem with idolatry in Israel. And God is going to deal with that before God gives them a physical victory. God's going to give them a spiritual victory. See, God's more concerned in the spiritual than the physical. The physical deliverance, the physical victory over the Midianites is nothing to the Lord. But now this idolatry, that's what God's concerned about. And so Gideon, he begins at home. And that's where we've got to start tonight. We've got to begin at home. Now we're getting ready to get a new president. And I wish him all the best. I wish our country the best. I am a little bit optimistic that things will improve. But I talked with somebody today, and you'd have thought that their best friend had died. Oh, they're discouraged and depressed. And they just think the world is about to come to an end because of our new president. And I said, it'll be all right. I said, a lot of people have felt that way for the past 8 years. But they couldn't see that. They said, oh no, no, this is worse. This is much worse. But you know, there's a lot of reforms that are happening. They're going to reform about everything. Healthcare, trade, immigration, taxes, all these reforms they're talking about. But of all the reforms that need to take place, what we really need is spiritual reform. If we don't get right with God as a nation, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to get any better. Nothing is going to get any different. And here's the thing. I can't do anything about what goes on in Washington. But I can do something about what goes on at my house. And so Gideon, he's one man. He's got to start at his house. And that's the answer for our nation tonight. Oh, this needs to be done and that needs to be done. I heard Mike Pence talking about Roe versus Wade. I hope they do away with that. Our nation has murdered and slaughtered babies for years and years now. I hope they do away with that. I really do. But how does that start? That stuff's got to start at our house. We've got to be what we're supposed to be. And so that's what God told Gideon. He said, your father's house. He said, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And so, where did it begin? It began at home, and it began at once. If you look in verse 27, and I've got this circled and underlined in my Bible, it said, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so Gideon didn't mess around for months on end. When God told him what to do, he did it. And he did it immediately. And if we look on down through here, it said, and so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And so, what can we say about Gideon? He's just starting out and he's real walk of faith. And he's afraid. He's afraid of his father's household. That means his brothers and all of his uncles and everybody else. And he's afraid of the men of the city. And what God told him to do, he didn't do it during the daytime. He did it during the nighttime. But he did it. So, praise the Lord. I've done some things where I was afraid. But did it anyway. And God didn't tell him not to do it at night. God just told him to do it. And so Gideon might have said, well, that now's as good a time as any. We'll just do it tonight. Instead of waiting until in the morning, we'll just do it now while we got the courage. And they went out. And he did that very thing. And the lesson in all of this is when God shows us what we're supposed to do, we ought to do it right then. A lot of times, if you delay, you won't do it. You talk yourself out of it. And so Gideon did it right then. And this can be applied to sin in our lives. That's what that was, this Baal worship, this altar, this grove. God said, cut it down. You got to get rid of that thing. When something comes up in our life and God shows us it ought not to be there, we ought to cut it down right then. We ought to get rid of it. If we're supposed to witness to somebody, we ought to do it right then. We ought to take action on what God shows us to do. That's what I'm saying tonight. The Bible said that Gideon took 10 men of his servants. Now, that to me is just sort of a side note. That's interesting. 10 in the Bible is the number of testimony. That's God's testimony. There's 10 commandments. 10 things God said. So God's testimony to Gideon that he could even find 10 men to do anything. The Lord was saying, I'm with you in this. As one of them, it wasn't a sign, but it sure was nice to have them. And so God will give us some reassurances along the way. And 10 men that know what they're doing, they can get some work done. I got to thinking about that. You rarely ever now see 10 men working together, do you? I mean, if you call a plumber, you'll get one or two. If you get an electrician, you'll get two or three or four. If somebody's building a house, they just have a crew. If you had a crew of five or six, that'd be a big crew. But most of the time, it's just three or four or five men working together. But 10 men working together, you put Gideon in there as well, they could really get some work done. So you say, how did they do all that? 10 men can get a lot of work done if they know what they're doing. And so these 10 men, this would have let Gideon know, he didn't have to do all this by himself. The Lord would supply the help that he needed, and God will give us what we need to get his work done. So he did the work at once, and he gives Gideon the help that he needs. So that's where it began. It began at home, and it began at once. But second of all tonight, look at what he did. Verse number 28, the Bible says, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down. The grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And all of this was an elaborate accessories to worshiping Baal. That grove, it might have been trees, but it could have been wooden altars, wooden poles that they used to worship. The altar of Baal, they took that ox, and they used that ox, that bullock, to pull all that stuff down and to cut all that stuff down. What did he do? First of all, he tore down. He tore down that which God told him to tear down. It said in verse number 28 that he cast down and he cut down. Cast down and he cut down. First thing that's got to go, the false has got to go. And that's exactly what happens here. God said, cut down that false altar, cut down that grove where they worship Baal. And there's a lot of wickedness involved with Baal worship. And so God said that wicked stuff, that ungodly stuff, that idolatry, that's all got to go. Now, the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it talks about the weapons of our warfare. And verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So it's the same for us. If we're really going to do business for the Lord, we got to get rid of the things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. And that's the same thing as an idol. What did they do? They took an idol and they worshiped an idol in the place of God. And if we've got something in our lives that we have exalted above the knowledge of God, then it says bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Those things in our mind and our heart, they need to be cast down. They need to be torn down. And I know we don't worship Baal, but in America, we do have a lot of idolatry. We have a lot of things that we worship. And you say, what is idolatry anyway? How could I recognize that in my life? Just ask yourself some things. Where do I spend my time, my money, my energy, my interest? What am I always talking about? What am I always thinking about? What am I devoted to? What do I worship? If it's not the Lord, then that's an idol. I watched a little thing about, and I'm not anti-football, but there's a lot of people worships football. I watched this little documentary about the NFL, and it said in that documentary that they had already a day of the week. I mean, when the Super Bowl comes on, they'll start talking about that at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the game won't be till 8 o'clock at night. Playoffs. All this stuff. We are a nation, and we don't worship Baal and Ashtaroth and all these gods in the Old Testament, but people worship the Bears and the Cubs and the, see what I'm saying? The Panthers. And you say, but that's not an idol. But if it's something that people are really worshiping in their heart, and that's where their time and their money and their energy and their discussion and their devotion, then it's the same thing as an idol. And a Christian can have an idol in his life. I think in our day and time, a lot of idolatry could be something that you could carry in your pocket and be consumed with all the time. You watch people now. You can't talk to people. They've got their phones and they're consumed with what's going on that phone, whatever it is. But they're more devoted to that. I mean, if cell phone service went out in this country, people wouldn't know what to do. And so we have to be careful, even though, nobody would worship a totem pole. Nobody would, but we do worship other things. We let other things get in the place of God in our lives, and whether it's money or whether it's somebody or some sport or hobby or thing or whatever it is, we just have to be careful. We're not above the same things that the children of Israel were guilty of. It's just different things. But an idol in your heart is an idol in your heart. And it doesn't matter if it's Baal or a television show or whatever the case might be. A lot of things that we get infatuated with are not bad in and of themselves, but when we begin to love it with our heart, that's where it becomes an idol. So, first thing he did, he cast down. Second thing he did, he built up. Verse 28, I'm just going to read the last part of the verse. It said, the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second book was offered upon the altar that was built. And so God not only told him to cut down the false, God told him to build an altar and to worship that bullock. Now I read different people about what they said about this bullock. And they said the first bullock was probably dedicated to Baal. So it wasn't fit to offer to God. And so God didn't want the one that had been was set aside for Baal. But God took the second bullock, tore down the stuff, and then they offered that bullock. But I don't know that I would argue with anybody about that, and I don't know that I even understand everything about the second bullock. I'm sure there's a great truth in there. But he built up. And in our lives, when something, and this is something that even applies in our own family, if something bad goes, it ought to be replaced with something good. And if we don't replace the good with the bad, then you get rid of one bad thing, well, another bad thing will just come right in there and take its place. And so God didn't just say, get rid of the idols. God said, restore the true worship of God. That's what that was. And that's why God wanted an altar built upon the top of that rock, and he wanted the sacrifice there so everybody would see that something was changed and something was different. And so in our children's lives or in our lives, if we get rid of something, we need to make sure we replace that with something good. And that would apply in a lot of different areas. You get the bad out, get something good in there. You take something out of your life, it's taking your mind, taking your heart, fill it up. What do you say? Fill it up with. Put the Word of God in there. Put Bible in there. Put the Word of God. Put prayer in there. Put my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in there. And so that's what he did. He tore down, but he built something. And we don't need to just be out here. That's wrong. That's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. That's sinful. We need to show people there's a better way. That's what Gideon was doing. He wasn't instituting something that had never been done before. The children of Israel knew what it was to worship the real, true, and living God. And so Gideon's just trying to get them back to the old paths of the Word of God. We need to worship God again. Get rid of this idol worship. Well, last of all, look what happened. First of all, there was a changed attitude. Verse number 29 down through verse 31. It said, and they said one to another, who has done this thing? Now, can you imagine they got up in the morning and I guess some of them is real devoted and they's going to go down and worship Baal. And they get down there and it's a mess. And so, who's done this thing? Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash, now this is Gideon's daddy, said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? What he was saying there, are you going to stand up for Baal? Are you going to plead for Baal? Are you going to defend him? He said, will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death. See, under the Old Testament law, the idolater was to be put to death. And so Joash now, he's got a real change of mind. He said, if you're going to be on Baal's side, let him be put to death, like it says under the law. Whilst it is yet morning, if he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. So what's Joash? He's got a changed attitude. He sees that Gideon's torn down the altar of Baal there, and he basically says, you know, if Baal was a real God, it looks like he wouldn't have let one person do all this. Well, that's a good thought. He looked at it like that. And if you really study this out and think about it, Gideon destroyed thousands of dollars worth of personal property. I mean, the altar, the grove, all that, I'm sure that was worth something. But the bullock, that'd be like if one of you gentlemen had a backhoe. I mean, you go and buy a backhoe or a nice tractor to work with around the farm. It's thousands of dollars. Well, Joash had at least two nice bullocks. 7 years old, and this one was 7 years. And that was said to be in its prime. And Gideon took that tractor, tore down all that stuff that was out there, and then destroyed it, burn it on the altar. And that's his daddy's stuff. But Joash wasn't mad about it. Joash had a real changed attitude. And you know, we want our loved ones to be saved. What would you do if God told you to? You never know what effect it might have on somebody else. See, that was Joash's. And here's something else we can learn from this. It was Joash's property. That was all on his property. That's what the Bible says. It was his stuff. It was his bullock. So don't you guess he was probably the ringleader of worshiping Baal. Because God didn't tell Gideon to go down to somebody else's house. All this was taking place in his house. And it says it was Joash's. It was on him. But he's got a changed attitude. And all of a sudden now he says, if you're going to plead for Baal, we'll put you to death. Because if Baal was a real God, he wouldn't have let one person do all this. So if just one person got saved, it'd have been worth it. He obeyed. He did what God called him to do. And lo and behold, his daddy got saved. And now he's on the Lord's side. That's a blessing. And so what happened? There's a changed attitude. Second of all, there was a changed name. It said in verse 32, this is the last thing. He said, therefore on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he hath thrown down his altar. Now, Jerubbaal, you say, did he name him after Baal? Because see, it's got the name Baal in that name. Why did he name him Jerubbaal? Jerubbaal, if I'm even saying that right, it means this. It means Baal will contend. If Baal's real, let Baal do something about Gideon. It means the antagonist of Baal or the opposer of Baal. And so Gideon gets a new name out of this. And what is his name? His name is the fighter against Baal. The opposer of Baal. That's a pretty good name. They used to worship Baal. And now his name is the one that fights against Baal. If we are really saved by the grace of God, we ought to be known not as the best buddy friends of the world, but there ought to be something about us that people say, you know, they're different. They are opposed to the world. Now, I'm not opposed like I was talking about football. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with football. I don't want to be misunderstood, especially since my own wife has a Cowboys thing around her neck. But of all the things that goes on in the world, you and I ought to have a proper perspective of it. We don't worship these things. We worship God. There's a lot of things in the world we don't go along with. We cannot go along with because we worship God. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. We ought to have a different outlook on the world and the things of the world and the way the world operates. And people ought to see us, and they ought to see that there's some opposing in us. You know, I told you I was talking to somebody about the... Well, I wasn't talking to them. They was talking to me about it. But I come home and I told Kim, and I said, you know, I've been pretty disgusted in years gone by about the president and the politics and everything else that's gone on in Washington and in the country. I mean, for many, many years I could look back. But I never lost hope. Because my hope is not in Washington, D.C. My hope has always been in the Lord. But I think a lot of people are having a real, real hard time because their hope was in Washington, D.C. Their hope was in, you know, hope and change and all of this stuff. And when that's gone, they don't have the same hope I have. My life goes on. My hope's in the Lord. People ought to see that in us. I'm not opposed to, you know, the president one way or the other. But my hope is really in the Lord, no matter who's the president. Our hope's in the Lord. See, we ought to be different. And when Gideon did this, now he's growing. And he's still going to grow some more because his faith is still not where it ought to be. And so next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at this thing in the Bible. And I remember it from Sunday school where Gideon put that fleece out there. See, his faith is still not where it should be. He still needs some help. But here's what he did so far. He did what God told him to do. And what happened? God saved his daddy. And they didn't kill him. I mean, they just threatened to kill him and they wanted to kill him. And the devil will tell you, if you do that, they'll kill you. But they didn't kill him. They just wanted to kill him. But the Lord didn't allow that to happen. George Whitefield said this. He said, until our work is done, we are immortal. And what that means is, ain't nobody going to kill you if God's got something for you to do. Until our work is done, we're going to live on. We're going to do what God has called us to do. And so Gideon, they didn't kill him. His daddy got saved. I'd say overall, that's a pretty good start. It's a little rough, and he is scared, but that's a pretty good start. But his faith is going to grow. So I appreciate your good attention tonight.